T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, WCCO Sports with Mike Max here at 7:39. Maxie, the sports brought to you by Federated Insurance. Jeff and all the great people out there, Coop and the whole gang, Julie, the, you name them. They're wonderful folks. Hey, Mike, the Twins, nice game last night. Perez, man, he looks pretty good.
My gosh, he's got to be the, if you took a vote today, the comeback player of the year in the American League. He has just been lights out. I mean, and you watch him pitch. If you didn't, you just can't believe that his statistics were what they were in Texas, because you'd think you got a guy that's your number one. When you watch him pitch, you think this is the ace. This is the number one guy. He works fast. He gets ahead. He's got nasty pitches, nasty strikeout pitches too. And he had 9 strikeouts in 7 innings last night. I mean, that's just unheard of in this day and age that you see a pitcher that can do that. And he did it with breaking stuff. He had a live fastball, but he did it with his breaking pitch as well. Just really encouraging. I think he and Odorizzi have been the most encouraging from the pitching staff, because you kind of had an idea, Barrios and Gibson, what they'd give you. But you get those two guys throwing and doing what they're doing right now, and it really changes the direction, or at least the optimism of the season.
5:30 tonight, pregame show right here on WCCO, and the first pitch at 6:10, so during Paul and Giordani, you can catch the Twins. Hey, Mike, all this this chatter, is that what it is about Kyle Rudolph being traded? I see more on that today. Is there anything to that?
Well, they can field offers as long as they want, and I don't think it hurts them to do that. It's a salary cap thing as much as anything, the guaranteed money that he has and what they've got to work with in the cap. All those things are the biggest reasons why he's in play, and because they drafted Irv Smith Jr., who we watched at the mini camp, the rookie camp this last week, hard to get a feel for where he's at in terms of his NFL, game ready, all that stuff. But Rudolph is just kind of the easiest one to point to when you look at the number that he makes, years in the league, all those things, you put them all together, position, all that stuff. And you say, okay, he'd be the most vulnerable. But, what can you get in return? I don't know. Is it only draft pick? Could you get a lineman? Could you get something like that? That might change the narrative if you could get a good offensive lineman for him. But I've said before, you're going into this with a pretty lot of unknowns in the offensive line. I would think you would want some stability at tight end, which is an extension of the offensive line. And Rudolph is that smart football player, good football player, all those things. But his name keeps popping up because I think it doesn't hurt them to field the calls.
This press conference with the Wolves yesterday, introducing the new basketball director of operations. So did he commit anything to Ryan Saunders or Scott Layden?
No, I had a long talk with him yesterday after, and he just, I mean, obviously, all these guys, as you know, Dave, they can all say, we're going to explore, blah, blah, blah. They know exactly what they want to do. They're just not going to tell you. So Ryan Saunders, that process is, he says we're going to, thoroughly start with Ryan and talk about and see, and he uses the term partners. We're looking for partners in the, in our philosophy, et cetera. So that keeps him really noncommittal on the deal. But he knows exactly what he's going to do, if he's going to keep Ryan Saunders or not. There's no question about that in my mind, because you just don't come into jobs like this and not know what you're going to do. They're too big. There's too many moving parts. There's too many things that you have to have stability. And he also had, J.B. Bickerstaff was interim head coach in Houston when he was there too. So, J.B. was just let go by Memphis and interviewed with Cleveland. So he does have other people that he knows for sure in this league, and he's worked with a lot of them. Kevin McHale he worked with. I don't think he'll be coming back. But he does have, his own network or his own thoughts. And I think that at minimum, Ryan's going to get every chance to impress him, et cetera. But there's no question in my mind that he knows what he wants to do.
How about Wiggins?
Well, this is, obviously, again, vague on how you go about getting him motivated. But, they're not even talking about it. It was kind of interesting because I was talking about James Harden yesterday down there in Houston. I said, could you do anything like that in Minnesota? And then he really talked a lot about Carl Anthony Towns and making this his team. And I just thought it was interesting. He's not even to mention of Wiggins. It was just all about this is Towns' team, and he's got to know that. And, you know, we can't do exactly what we did with Harden and Houston, but there's got to be opportunities that we can, you know, get this guy to the MVP level it could be kind of thing. So Wiggins was an afterthought in that conversation, obviously. And that's an interesting topic to address. But I just think with Wiggins, they got to get whatever they can out of him because I think he's untradeable right now.
Coming up at 8:12 this morning, we'll be giving you another shot at $1,000. Make sure you listen to our 12K a day giveaway. And then at 8:20, another shot at winning tickets to see Celine Dion. And I think of entertainers, Max. And last night, yesterday afternoon I got home, my wife had the Met Gala pregame show going. You know, Met Gala has that big fundraiser, and then they have a special exhibition in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. If you've ever been out there, it's really, really nice, right? So Lady Gaga comes out, and she's spectacular, man. She's got four different outfits on and kind of strips down to the final one. And the crowd's just loving her. And I thought, I really like what she did, but she did. I didn't see any credit given to you because I remember when you did that at one of our little banquets here we had for TV and radio, and you came in and you took four different outfits out, but the last one was a little risque because you were covered in Old Dutch chips.
Well, exactly. And boy, I'll never forget the reaction that night, you know, and because everybody thought they'd seen the last outfit, and then boom. And, you know, if I had to do it over again, I would have mixed in the barbecue chip. I'm going to be honest about that. I think there's some places on the body that just fits perfect. But, you know, that's maybe that's another time, another place, you know. I probably need to do it before I'm too old. But but to see the look on the faces.
Oh, it was priceless. You know? It was priceless.
Yeah, and then they have people waiting. You didn't see this in my dressing room afterwards. You know, I thought they wanted autographs. They wanted to know what I was going to do with the chips because they were sitting in those buckets. You know,
I do. I remember well, but I did not make the dressing room. Because once you took off that second outfit, then you were covered and you looked like a bag of Dutch Crunch. But then, that gets removed.
That was the whole idea. And everybody thought, well, that's it, man. That's the finale. That's the big finito.
But it
and
wasn't.
All of a sudden you throw the bag off, and then you keep going.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I made the mistake of walking up by the stage, and I thought somebody was – it was weird. Somebody was, like, grabbing my toe or something. And, of course, Lynch was trying to nibble one of the chips on my big toe there thinking I wouldn't catch him, you know?
Here's the thing. It would have gone viral, but the crowd was so stunned nobody could even think to grab their phone. By the way, Maxie, just before you go here, for Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, we want to give them some kind of gift for the birth of their son. So you just let me know which particular bag of Old Dutch chips we want to send to the royal couple.
Yeah, well, you and I were talking about this a month ago because we've been waiting for this day for so long. And, you know, obviously he said NBC broke into breaking news on it yesterday. And, of course, this is all you and I have been talking about. When will they have a baby? When will she go into labor? You know, what will the name be? And so we'll wait to see what the name is, and then we'll align that with chips. We do that. I think we do that really well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk to Matt at Old Dutch and see if they can custom design the gourmet white Pop King instead of popcorn. What do you think?
Perfect, man. The Pop King.
Yeah, although he's seventh in line, who cares?
Close enough for us, Davis. As close we're going to get.
OldDutchFoods.com. Pick some up today. Maxie's back in an hour.